This is Business Update from the BBC. The main headlines. Catalonia says 90% of the population voted yes in its independence referendum. Monarch Airlines is to cease trading with immediate effect, stranding more than 100,000 passengers. And Ugandan MPs vote to raise their allowances, even as poverty increases in the country. I'm Philip Hampshire at the BBC's business unit in London. Catalan officials announced 90% of voters said yes to independence in the region's weekend referendum. But Spain's Prime Minister, Mariano Rajoy, totally refuted the legitimacy of the vote and described it as illegal. Our reporter Guy Hedgeco is in Barcelona.
The two sides were extremely polarised by this issue. They have been polarised for the last 5 years or so since the independence movement really gathered speed. Yesterday's events and what happened with the police and so on really made things worse in that sense and seemed to open up even further this chasm, if you like, between Catalonia and the rest of Spain. The government in Madrid insists that there was no legal framework for the referendum. It can't be taken seriously and therefore the result can't be taken seriously. And the Catalan regional government has argued that it was carrying out this referendum in extremely difficult circumstances caused by the central government. So kind of saying, what do you expect? So in a sense, the two sides are more entrenched than ever. And that makes finding a solution to all of this very difficult.
One of Britain's best-known holiday flight companies, Monarch Airlines, has collapsed with all flights immediately cancelled. It leaves over 100,000 people stranded abroad in places such as Egypt, Turkey, Greece and Cyprus. The British government says it will help fly the passengers home. John Donison has the details.
Monarch Airlines lasted for half a century, but in its 50th year, it's been brought down to earth. In a statement, the Civil Aviation Authority said the airline would cease trading with immediate effect. In an email to Monarch's more than 2,500 staff, the airline's CEO, Andrew Swaffield, singled out recent terrorism attacks in Egypt, Tunisia and Turkey as having badly damaged the business. The company has also been affected by a fall in the value of the pound, with much of its income coming in sterling, while many of its costs, such as fuel, were in dollars.
The Ugandan parliament is causing a fresh stir among the public after news broke that they'd increase their own allowances, even as reports show growing poverty. Nebet Rugadia reports from Kampala.
A travelling MP will now get a daily allowance of $720 or 2.6 million shillings, up from $520. This now makes an MP the most expensive public official on travel, ahead of the Vice President and the Prime Minister, who get $710 and $610 respectively a day. Some members of the public wonder what MPs go to do abroad that necessitates such an expense. Uganda has about 350 MPs, and the biggest number travels during the Uganda North American Association annual summit, where 40 MPs are facilitated by Parliament. In Uganda, the lowest paid public servant earns $100 a month, while an MP gets a total package of $5,800.
Let's take a quick look at the financial markets. And December Brent crude oil is currently down by $1.03 at $55.76 a barrel. You're listening to the BBC.
This is the business update from the BBC World Service.
Japan's chief cabinet secretary, in effect the country's second highest ranking politician, has spoken about the findings of the Tankan Economic Survey, which reported buoyant growth for the fourth consecutive quarter. Yoshida Suga confirmed the findings, which put Japan's economy in its best shape for 10 years.
I'm aware that Bank of Japan's quarterly survey showed that all industries are up 15 points and economic recovery is continuing.
US President Donald Trump was elected partially because American voters liked his success as a businessman. But right now it's US business schools that are suffering. A recent report showed that international student applications to business degree programs in the United States plunged by over 60%, mostly as a result of heated US political comments surrounding immigration. President Trump's policies might be hurting US schools who rely on international students who often pay big tuition bills, but they're helping programs outside the US. The BBC's Kim Gittleson sent us this report from Nottingham Business School, 2 hours north of London, whose students begin classes today.
Nottingham, here in the heart of the UK, is best known as the home of Robin Hood, the storybook hero who took from the rich to give to the poor. But today, it's students who are hoping to get rich who are flocking here. I'm at Nottingham's Business School, which has seen a 25% uptick in interest from international students. I've come here to find out why students are so interested.
My name is Abel. I'm from India.
Why did you decide to come here?
Well, I think it's time for me to proceed further in my career.
I met a handful of Nottingham students from India and even the United States in the school's high-ceilinged atrium.
Hi, my name is Monique Woods, and I am originally from Seattle, Washington. Lived in also LA for most of my life, so that's mainly where my career was based.
So what drew you here?
So why am I here in Nottingham, UK? I was in a position where I reached senior management level, and I was really looking for an opportunity to expand my global opportunities.
Many of them told me they wanted an international experience, something, they said, that's become increasingly important as businesses become more global, even if the political environment is heading in the other direction.
One of the things we noticed post the election in the U.S. last November was a change in students' expressed intent to study in the U.S.
Sangeet Chopla is the president and CEO of GMAC, the nonprofit that administers the GMAT, which is the test that most students have to take in order to apply to business school. He says his organization surveyed 1,000 business schools across the world, and they found that international student interest in U.S. business schools had declined by nearly two-thirds. I asked him why.
I think it's a combination of two different things. One is this concern about not necessarily the political environment, but its impact on post-study work visas, such as the H-1B visa in the United States. And it comes at a time where there is high-quality educational options increasingly being available in other places around the world, some of whom are rolling out the welcome mat. Canada, Germany, increasingly even countries like Japan, which are facing demographic change in their domestic populations, are very welcoming to foreign students and are essentially giving them the message, come out here, we'll give you a study visa, but more importantly, we'll give you a work visa after that.
Are we going downstairs? Or
yeah,
we
can do.
Cool. So is this...
This is a business school atrium.
I mean, it's... I like so, yeah, that it says welcome international student enrollment. Back at Nottingham, I met Phil Considine, who heads up the graduate business program. He told me that Nottingham's success might be something that U.S. schools should look to.
In the U.K., there was an issue around 5 years ago where we stopped giving post-study work visas to overseas students. And it caused us a problem because a lot of universities hadn't really figured out what they were going to do to attract overseas students. My feeling is that it's taken us about kind of 4 or 5 years to really understand what attracts overseas students to come to do their MBA in a market that is very competitive, where the options and choices are really quite significant. So my guess is that that's probably happening currently in the States and that the universities will be going through the same trajectory as we did, but we're kind of 5 years ahead of them.
Looking out from the school's windows, you can see the beginning of Sherwood Forest, which might be a lesson for U.S. business schools who could be distracted by the trees.
Kim Gittleson reporting there from Nottingham. Well, let's take a quick look at the euro, and it's currently trading at $1.17.5 US cents. Meanwhile, the pound is trading at $1.33 US cents. You're listening to the BBC.